and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Circle the word all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall dream dreams on my servants. And on my so poured out on them in the last days, and they will prophesy. But then he also said, on the lay people who are not my main servant or handmaidens, I will also pour out my spirit, and they will also prophesy. What is the difference between prophesying as a minister, full time minister, and prophesying at the platform, the sphere where you are carrying out your ministry differs? You see, like, in places that most pastors don't even know what to say. And these people are dying with their problems. That's the word he used, that the case is over. I don't know how to deal with these people. And that's the first thing. When the father and the son were designing the new tenant, there was something they had in mind. And this thing is still 12. Another 5,000 joined them, making them 8,000. And this thing is still 12. Then after a while, the Bible said they were a multitude that no one could number. When they got to that point, they added 7 other ministries here. They called deacons. They didn't increase this. I just want you to think about it. This is the church that Jesus Christ said, I will build. I, not you. I will build it, and I design the church. This is the church. So if you do the ratios of this thing, and do the ratio of whatever you call multitude here, 12 people pastoring them, the scripture teaches plurality or multiplicity of ministry. That's team ministry, not one person. There has to be a team of people pastoring gospel, because one person can't do all that. Even Jesus didn't do it alone. He gathered 12. So, but I'm telling you that this is a church that has 12 strong pastors, has enough pastors. So, what about the rest? Now, hear it. The church that Jesus Christ and the Father designed and came here to create. That's why we have a lot of work on also. Even this ministry has a lot of responsibility. You have to keep praying for me, because what we are here to produce is not what has been going on. It's not. Anytime we do what has been normal, we have just wasted another time in this reformation program. What the Father and the Son designed was a church where the whole stadium is in the pitch playing, and 12 men are on the side clapping for them. I want you to get it. So if I make this statement, it might help you get it clearly. In the Old Testament, ministries or ministry gifts were usually very scarce. There were only 3 people that can be anointed. Anointing was such a precious resource that it cannot be poured on any half person. Okay. I think it will be good to show you the scripture. Exodus chapter 30. Anointing was so costly, so precious, that if it's poured on an ordinary man, on a layman, he dies. He kills him. You dare not do it. Only 3 people were allowed to be anointed: prophets, priests, and kings. You can't find anointing in any other place. That is why all the whole community, the whole nation, will have to be going to one. Because sometimes in a whole nation, you find 1 or 2 prophet raised. Every other person, can you imagine, like a whole Nigeria, only Pastor Adeboye and Pastor Kumuyi So the whole nation, the 140 million people, will be depending on these two people. The issue is that there are many times in the history of the nation of Israel when they couldn't even find one prophet, one reliable man of God. As at the time when Elijah died, that was the part of the problem. These kings had had all these false prophets of Baal prophesying to them, and they got themselves into problem. Jehoshaphat advised them, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord in the land? Finally, they heard that there was somebody that served Elijah around. He said, let's go. He must have collected it. And when they got there, truly the word of the Lord was with him. But it was this Elijah who came in his own turn and started a school of prophets. That is what we call school of ministry today, or Bible schools and other, so that more people will be trained, so that there won't be scarcity of spiritual leadership. In the time of Eli, the Bible said there was no more open vision. There is nothing like hearing from God. The priests don't hear, the people can't hear. Anybody who wants to hear, but there is no way to go, and you will say you can actually get a word from God. Only three groups of people were anointed. Who are you? Let me show you. Now, Exodus chapter 30. There is something I want you to see there. From verse 22, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Moses. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, take thou unto the principal spices, pure myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon, so much, 250 shekels, of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and after the shekel of the sanctuary, and then, of course, olive oil, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an anointing compounded after the holy anointing oil. Thou shalt anoint the tabernacles of the congregation therewith, the ark of the testimony, the table and all the vessels, the candlesticks and all his vessels, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, the laver and his food, and thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whosoever toucheth them shall be holy. I don't know if you know the meaning of that word holy. It means only a consecrated person, separated unto God, can touch them. Now watch. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the office of the priest. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, what about the rest of the nation? What about the rest of the nation? He said, this is what you are going to tell them. Tell them, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. And this is opposite of this is what Acts chapter 2 is saying. God designed the New Testament to be exactly opposite of this. He said, this cannot be poured on ordinary flesh, on lay people, on normal people. In New Testament, he now said, I want my spirit poured upon all flesh. He said, upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy. It shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compounded any like it, or whosoever putted any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. The person will die. You pay with your life. So, how many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? If this was Old Testament, you'll be dead. That day they ministered it to you, that's the day you have died. It will kill you immediately. Of course, it's sent with electricity, you know, hook a wire into your body, shocks you and kills you. But Jesus, by his death on the cross, obtained the insulator that enables us to harness the power of divine electricity in such a way that it can now become a benefit to us and not destructive. Because even in this verse, in types and shadow, God told Moses, don't just anoint Aaron and his sons, anoint all the vessels that I use in ministry. Talking symbolically that the time is coming that every vessel in the house of God, every vessel will be anointed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the question is, anointing was scarce in the Old Testament. Only few people can hear the sick. Only few people can hear from God. Very few people. Sometimes you don't find what you don't have one person in the whole society who can hear from God. There were times, of course, after the death of Prophet Malachi, they said 400 years passed. There was not one anointed man, not one prophet, not one voice who could hear from God until a voice rose in the wilderness crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord by the name of John. Not one prophet rose. It was called 400 years of silence in the Bible. That means when you get your book of Malachi, remember there is always this empty, open page between Malachi and Matthew. Eh? In it, you should write 400 years of divine silence. In church history, we had about 900 years of dark ages when the Holy Ghost didn't move on earth until Martin Luther came up. Because after the backsliding of the church, it lasted for a long time before the Reformation started. The question then is, if the Holy Spirit were not allowed to come on ordinary people, it only comes upon those special people that God called that he wants to use, why is it now that in the New Testament there is a new design and is God has now decided to pour it on everybody? It's a simple principle that is behind that. Because God have decided to use everybody in the church. Everybody God saved, he saved him to use him. Everybody God anointed, he anointed him to use him. Everybody God saved, I want to say it again, he saved the person to use him. Everybody God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, he gave him the gift of the Holy Spirit so he can use him. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, so you can be my witnesses. Not so you can sit down, so you can begin to minister. And that's what he said there. I'll pour out my spirit upon them, and they shall begin to prophesy and speak the word and minister and be a minister of the gospel. But of course, there will still be full-time ministers who are called into the fivefold within the church terrain, the church sphere. But the church sphere is too small to take a society. The only way you can understand why God is pouring the Spirit upon everybody now is that you have to understand the magnitude of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a global mandate. We don't have enough Bible school to produce missionaries to win the world. We don't have enough Bible schools to produce ministers that can evangelize Nigeria itself. Some of the amazing thing, I don't know if you have noticed, when they say Bonke is in town, and then they will give statistics, they say about 6 million people are in the crusade. You go out in your street, there is nobody missing. You think traffic will reduce at Third Mainland, or if you go to Ojota, you will notice that something is happening, like Christmas Day. There is even no sign that anything was happening. So you say miracle service, you know, at Redemption Camp, another one at Mountain of Fire Camp, another one at Kumuyi's Camp, Pastor Chris in another camp, if Dominus is the like, we'll put our camp wherever, Pastor Yerubo will put his own. By the time you fill up all those places, there is nothing. The sea is loaded with fishes. What you have in your net has not scratched anything. I have some documentaries. How something like sardine, there's a group of fish called sardine, when the egg breaks and hatches, they come out in hundreds of millions, and yet you see them in different places. So you threw your net and collected 156 pieces, because when they said net breaking, fish sinking, they counted it was 150 something fish. And we're not talking about 156 fish from an aquarium. The aquarium might feel it. You're talking about from the sea. They call it Sea of Galilee. Not even river. Even River Niger won't feel it. But now it's sea. Sea. When the Bible uses the word sea and other, he's talking about nations and peoples. They say, I'm making you fishers of men. I want you to know that this society has not been scratched. Like when you come to Lagos, you say, wow, redeemed. They really touched Lagos, Pastor Chris. They have not scratched. Do you know that if you get all the Pentecostal churches and fill all the buildings that they build on Sunday morning, every church filled to the brim, of course, people squeezing. We have not touched 10% of the city. 10%. And I said to the Lord, so what exactly is your plan here? He said, the issue is this. The whole church, it will require the whole church to reach the whole world. It will require the whole church to reach the whole city. If we have a few people reaching the church people unless we unlock the church, the society will not be changed, will not be impacted. And that means that the program of God has failed. And God forbid, because God will not allow that to happen. He has some other ways of doing his things, of which one of them finally could be persecution. If the church gets asleep to a level that we have removed ourselves from our assignment, he will raise that problem. The reason the anointing is now on, available to everyone, is because every one of us have been enlisted into God's army, into ministry. That's where you get the concept of the priesthood of all believers. And because of that too, you have right now to come to the Father in the name of Jesus and pray to him, and he will listen to you. It was not like that in the Old Testament. You use representation. It's the priest that will go before you. Even if you bring your sacrifice, you can't sacrifice it. You can die sacrificing it. Saul was removed from the throne offering his own sacrifice. You have to wait for the priest to come or the prophet to offer it for you. If you have money to give him, you wait. And you can see what the New Testament did. He has removed all those mediators and declared now that there is now only one mediator between God and man, the Christ Jesus, giving all of us access. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All. So while the ministers are prophesying, the sons and daughters are prophesying, the young men are prophesying, the old people are prophesying, no group of people are left out from the program. Can I hear you say amen? Now, here is a concept of the Stadion Church. The concept of the Stadion Church is where everybody in church sits down to enjoy the ministry of 12 people. And their own ministries die and are stifled. And they get to a point, they don't enjoy coming to church. There is no more motivation anymore. They wake up on Sunday morning, they want to roll to the other side and sleep. After a while, they are backsliding. Some of them have to come because of the social contact they've built. Church is not meant to be boring. Because church is where people who have been using their car all week long have returned back to refuel. People who have been burning the candle of their ministry all week. He said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You are not supposed to go under and hide your talent and hide your gift or hide your ministry. You are to position yourself so that you can be a blessing to people. People who have been burning their candle have just returned back, wise virgins, to refuel their tank. That's what church. So it's usually exciting. It's not somebody coming there depending, you know, depressed, looking for worship leader to lift him up. No, it's somebody who came charged up, even ready to give something to somebody. Church will bore you to death if you don't start doing ministry. And I guarantee you that you will not be in the shape to meet the rapture if you are not doing ministry. Those who will be in shape when Jesus returns are those who are occupying, not those who are at ease in Zion. He warned, he said, who is the servant who his master has set over his house to give them his meat in their season? Blessed is that one that when he comes, he will find them so doing. He talked about the other one that when he comes, he will find them not doing it. He said he will cut them asunder and give them their place with the hypocrites. It's the same thing with the people he gave talent, occupied, like the one that was not using the talent, multiplying. He cut him asunder and sent them into outer darkness. You will not be in the position to meet the Lord if you are not doing ministry. Ministry is how God designed for securing even your own work. In describing the armor of God, the readiness to preach the gospel, always being ready to share your faith, was the one he called our shoe that keeps us from stumbling. Because when a man makes a mistake, because he's somebody, a light on a hill, he can't stay like that. People are looking at him. People are looking up to him. He can't just carry a girl and land in my street. The whole street know who I am. There are some things you can't do in the office. You can't go and be smooching your boss after you're preaching in that office. And you're preaching to your boss. You can't do it. It keeps you strong. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. The first thing a Christian should do when he changes environment is to declare his identity. After he has declared it, there are some things he can't do. He fails to do it, he has given the devil opportunity to knock him out. Now, the design of heaven is the opposite of stadium, where 12 people or 24, as the case may be, are assigned to train the rest, and they are released into the pitch to go and play. That brings us to the concept of what is called the marketplace ministry. The idea of the marketplace ministry is that there are ministers whose platform is not the church platform. Church platform is too small to reach a whole society. Let me show you what God is trying to do here and what is the design the Father and the Son had when they were making the church. The plan was this. God knew that everybody has this affinity towards his own kind of people or his own people groupings. Everybody has affinity towards his own people groupings. So when he was giving the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world. Everyone say, all the world. Mark chapter 16. Go into all the world and take the gospel there. If you circle all the world there is all ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. Ethnos. That's the word they use in Greek. And what is ethnos? People groupings that have something common to them. Watch this. Now, a group of people that are not just associating, but they are associating because there is something they have in common. For example, Nigeria, the reason we're all Nigerians is that at least we have one common boundary. We have a common pledge. We have a common anthem. We have a number of other things. But really, Nigeria is a nation of many nations. Because here we have the Yoruba nation. That's what Jesus meant when he said ethnos. Yoruba nation that have, they have a lot of things, certain culture, certain things that are common to them. You have the Igbo nation. You have the Fulani nation. You have the Hausa nation. You have the Ijaw nation. So sometimes you talk about conference of ethnic nationalities. That when you get use the word ethnic, you are using ethnos. That's from where they got it. This is one. So if we have some ministers like Pastor Adebwe who rises up, there is this tendency for him to touch more Yorubas. He has reached a lot of Obas, touch a lot of people because they can identify with him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The way Jesus designed mission is that when you go on foreign mission, like you travel from Nigeria to Republic of Congo, don't go there and take over ministry in that nation. Go there with a heart to raise ministers for them, for their own people. But then also, the ones who will successfully do foreign mission will be people who will be decolored, who will be set free from their own ethnic molding and mindset, who will be willing to be all things for all men, so that by all means they might win some. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Paul said, to the Romans I become as the Romans, to the Jews I become as the Jews, that I might win the Jews, to the Romans that I might win the Romans, to the Greek I become as the Greek, that I might win the Greek. He said, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means. There are a few who understand that dynamics. Peter couldn't do it. He sent it to Cornelius' house. He's Jewish, whatever. You know, there are a lot of us who are born again, but we are still biased against other people grouping. I hope you know that. There are many of us who are like that. While you are growing up, it's not really you that did it, but your environment, what they put inside you against the other people. So we all grew up thinking that where we came from is better. But it's not. Because if they get back to me in Maiduguri, I'll probably have all the marks and be a complete Muslim. And maybe go to the gutter, wash, and do the things like other Muslims. And after I give my life to Christ, I might still be doing it because it's a habit I've cultivated. Jewish people, for example, when you pray, go into your secret closet. It's not going to a room. No, it's not room. There's something they carry, the prayer shawl, the talif. So even in the public, like you see Muslims praying in the airport and all that. Even in the public, once it's the hour of prayer, maybe like 12, you see him, he will just cover that thing with his face, take a corner, stand there and do all that. What he does is that he has disconnected distraction. So your secret closet is anywhere, whether it's a mountain or a garden or a primary school, anywhere you go, that helps you disconnect distraction. It might be just facing a wall. It might even be in church like this. Prayer meeting is going, everybody is there, and you, your own is just to go put your hands on the wall like this. And you are able to concentrate. Some people is closing their eye. If God is going to use you beyond your own people grouping, you have to be a man of all seasons. You have to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have to be free from where you are born. And sometimes it also means that in going to other cultures, you also have to be sensitive to the people and find what offends them and avoid it. If I get to maybe some villages now, ministering, and you find the way they greet you, but greet him like that, giving his respect. Honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. Don't go there. You know, what Jesus and the Father designed is this. Apart from those few who will be able to, like Paul, carry on cross-cultural ministry, there are people like that. They've developed themselves beyond their immediate environment. Apart from those few, what he planned is that everybody that gets saved will go back to the people group from where God saved them and reach them. I want you to know that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you are going to be answering a series of questions over blood, and you'll be wondering how you are the one held accountable for these lives. The issue is that if you know where God pulled you out from, they are the people he called you to. Never forget this. Never forget what you have heard. Whichever people groupings that God saved you from, they are the ones. Don't do business for profit. Do it as a ministry. If you do it for profit, there is no reward for you after this whole life. You are just like every other unbeliever. Do it as a ministry. Realize that God gave you that platform so you can reach. Because ethnos is people grouping. So anywhere you find a group of people, association of people, a gathering of people, if there is something in common to them, that's an ethnos. For example, you have the academic world, these professors. They even have unions. How many of you have noticed? Almost every form of ethnos have some form of union. There are some that don't, but there are few. They have some form of union among the doctors. They have. The medical world has. It's an ethnos. They have their languages. When they start speaking it now, those of you here will just know that you are a foreigner. Whether you are from the same village or not. That thing has given the man another ethnic group he belongs to. So men of God have their own. You have religious world. You can't just carry the way you are doing things and go and talk to Muslims. There's a brother here who went inside an Islamic school, and when he finished preaching, he made altar call. Almost all of them gave their life. It's not the way you reach church. He went there to reach them. They carried him up as they were thanking him and gave him his Islamic name. He took it. So the Okada riders is an ethnos. The drivers, ethnos. The area boys, ethnos. Where did God save you from? You now forget your people group because you have entered church. Woe betide you. But God forbid, because you are learning, you are getting knowledge that will not only set you free, but that will set thousands of people free. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Now, the medical doctors, ethnos. Is somebody's tribe. The Omata ethnos is somebody's tribe. Don't come here and deceive yourself because you are in a church. There is no psychedelism in Christianity. Whichever people group, Peter belonged to the fisherman's club. God pulled him out. But Levi, Matthew, didn't belong to that class. He belonged to the educated class that was working in government, civil servant. He was a revenue officer. Ethnos. So the day Levi threw a party, it was all tax collectors that filled that place. I wish I have the time to show it to you. Tax collector, that's what is called a marketplace ministry. It doesn't mean that the fellowship is actually holding in the market or holding in your company. Part of it is that it can actually hold in your company. Part of it is that it might hold somewhere else, but it's those people that you are reaching. And all kinds of tax collectors fill the place. And Jesus was invited by him. He came in there and sat with them and ate. And when he finished, he led all those people to Christ. The political world ethnos. You see, these politicians in Abuja and your state and all that, they are in their world. Here is the wisdom of God. God knew that people from one ethnic group suspect people from the other ethnic group. That there are wars separating these different people. That's why you have wars. But do you know what? They kept having war with the doctors. Whenever she talks to me, she gives me her own side, and she's right in her own side. When the doctors come and give me their own side, they are right in their own side. It's the same war that you sometimes find between the Yorubas, the Igbos, the Hausas or Hausas, and you know the people in the South or South and Middle Belt, and even Middle Belt and whatever, and the real Cornut. Because when they fought in Jos, it was not people down here fighting. It was Northerners fighting Northerners. So what Jesus and the Father designed was this. That people tend to trust people of their own kind. You will see a lot of people. Do you know that a lot of people suspect pastors? You think because we are ministers. That of course there are pastors, a lot of pastors who have misbehaved though. But that's not the point. There are doctors too who have misbehaved. The last time you saw that a little child had HIV in hospital, are people still not going? But what I'm telling you, there is this distrust between people groupings. So see the plan. A doctor will reach doctors. They will trust him. When he's talking, they know he's one of us now. You know, they know. He gives a testimony how God helped him with his finance. They know. Is it not the same scenario or about the same kind of thing we are? And even if you're earning twice, or I understand what we're all going through in this. So if God is helping you, I need him to help me. And a woman, married woman, calls a group of women and start a house fellowship and start reaching them. And she shares how God has helped her raise her own children. Like I was reading a book published by her daughter called A Fellowship of Young Mothers and Young Women, and sharing with them. Haven't you noticed that when you say women fellowship, you bring all these young or married girls and put them with all the mothers, you are mixing ethnic groups. There is wahala in that place. It doesn't flow. That's why you call the meeting. If the mamas are the ones dominating, the young people will start dropping out. If the young people are the ones that are too much, mamas will wonder, what is all this? What is this? These people are children. Well, they're always, on trousers. See how that one is even chewing her gum. You don't understand. You're in your world. They're in their world. The world has changed. You see? That's why as you grow older, try to be like Paul. Condescend so you can understand your children, because parents and their teenage kids always have it hard. You forget that you have moved on. Times have changed for them. If you don't identify with them, you can't reach them. They can get lost right inside your house. Teenage girls and their mother, friends. And they can come and tell you everything. That's one of the greatest things you can cultivate. Even when they make mistakes. Okay, he has made one mistake. He kissed a guy. He will come and tell you. You can quench the fire when it's small. And how you handle that one can decide whether they will tell you another one. So, when you now have teens ministry, you have some Apostle Paul that can be teens, even though they are older. Then you have some teens raised that can be models for fellow teens. You have a powerful ministry. You raise some powerful things there that when they come out to share the word, when they come out to speak in tongues, when they lay hands on the sick, everybody want to catch the Holy Ghost. They will catch the fire. If it's just the big people, he's pastor now. Pastor is anointed. To get the wood to catch fire, God ignites wood. So I want you to know that God ignited your life for a reason. If you are always praying for restoration, restore me. You're always repenting. It's not repentance that you need again. It is ministry you need to recover. Because without it, your personal fire will go off. Now, see what I want to help you see. That the Holy Spirit is poured upon all. And if you are kept in a fivefold ministry, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 said, they are kept there to coach, to train, to empower, to equip the rest in the church so they can go and do the work of the ministry. That is the reason. And so if a pastor pastors without training the lay people, he has failed. If an evangelist preaches without training the lay people, he has failed. If an apostle does his work, pioneers, without training the lay people, he has failed. But here is the other thing you need to get that will help you. All the apostles are not in church. There are other apostles in the marketplace. Among those of you sitting here, there are apostles. All the prophets are not in church. The other prophets that are here, the other pastors in the marketplace, the other evangelists in the marketplace. So number one, who is an apostle? It will help you to know which one you are. I hope you know that someone like Moses was an apostle. You know, look at someone like Joseph that changed the destiny of a nation. Daniel that changed the destiny of Babylon. These are ministers in their caliber. When Abraham was being persecuted, the Bible said as they went from nation to nation, you know, somebody took away his wife, a king. So the Bible said as they went from nation to nation, Psalm 105, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do what? My prophets no harm. These men are businessmen, no? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Yet God was rebuking kings for their sake. For example, Pharaoh took Abraham's wife. When God cursed the family and closed all the wombs of the wife and brought barrenness on that house and brought a plague, sicknesses hit everybody. In the night, he now came and told the man, he said, you are a dead man. You are dead. The man said, begging God. He said, what have I done? He said, you took a man's wife. Restore it back to him, for that man is a prophet. Look at what God is saying. God is the one calling a businessman a prophet. Restore it to him or I kill you. For the man is a prophet. And he will pray for you and I will heal you. If he doesn't pray, you are finished. The same thing with Job. Job had to pray for all those friends because he was a prophet himself. He said, touch not my anointed. Do what? My prophet. He said, I will pour my spirit and they shall what? Prophesy. So see the plan of the father and the son. That in the boardroom where they are making decisions that will affect the economy of the nation, he will have a Joseph inside that place. In the room, political room, where they are making decisions that will affect the political state of a nation, where they are formulating the laws, like in National Assembly, like in the presidency, like in the executive, he will have Daniel inside that place, right there in the marketplace. Marketplace I'm talking about now is political, because we're talking about all the other spheres. When we say marketplace, we're not just talking about where you sell, Gary. We're talking about your bank, your office, your business, the government, the political arena, all these other areas, these spheres, other spheres and platforms outside the church. So without that, you see the little demons we cast in church are not the serious demons. Casting demon from a society is more important than casting him from one person. The reason the madman of Gadara, those demons in him were strong, is because they are not just personal demons. They are the demons that govern the territory. When he wanted them out, they said, don't send us out of this terrain because you destroy our government. We are the ones. That's why they sit at the gate. The gate, when you enter the city of Gennesaret, you enter it by ship. Like, you know, when the white man entered Nigeria through Badagry, you land on the shore, you enter by ship. That is the gate of the city. And at that gate is the graveyard. It was not accidental. And that's where the watchman, the strong man, was staying, inside one man. And he was controlling 6,000 demons with him. So the real demons that are troubling Nigeria are inside a few people. You know, like Babylon, they are called magicians, astrologers, and others. So God knew that if you don't get an apostle into that place who has enough anointing to check the operation of the enemy there, they will make one decision that will destroy the whole of his people that are trapped. So we pray in church, Government destroyed the prayer with one policy. Have you noticed what is going on? We pray for economy with one policy. Soludo and his people in the bank can destroy it. We pray for another one. The Inspector General of Police, we are praying for security of lives, can mess up the whole thing with one decision. So God needs some apostle in the police force. And when he gets them and they know why they are here, he moves them up like he moved Daniel. They will be in high position where they can influence things. That's why one Esther in the marketplace did more for the kingdom of God than all the people, Mordecai and others, sitting down. One Joseph in the marketplace, strategically positioned, did more for the kingdom of God than all the people. What I'm trying to let you know in essence is that God doesn't want more of you to come and join full time. You're already on full time. That place you are is your full time business. Don't you know? Listen, the man that brought Jacob to Pharaoh was who? Joseph. Jacob was inside doing his own thing, but Joseph was the one connected in the marketplace, strategically positioned. The one that brought Mordecai into place was Esther. You know, it was the little maid that gave Naaman the contact to Elisha the prophet, and he got healed. By the time he got healed, he denounced all his idolatry and all that. So you can see the plan of God. With this plan, the nation can be changed, the city can be transformed, the whole place can be turned around. That is exactly what God has. So you're going to start a cell group targeting your own ethnic group. Is it the law profession? Is it the medical profession? You start whatever, targeting your own. You know what they are going through. You know their problems. And there you minister to them. When we finish sharing, you take the word and reach them in at their own level of thinking. You convert, because any message, Pastor Sarah tells me, he said, no matter what you're preaching on, even if you like be talking on national reformation, I'll be getting family reformation. Something in me, because when you find your ministry, your passion, it converts the message to what you need. As what I'm teaching now, as I'm teaching it, you'll be getting how you can use it to reach the people there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope you know milk is protein. Meat is protein. Beans is protein, but they don't look alike. So the same thing can be converted, packaged in different form. So who is an apostle? I'll give you descriptions of this so we can go. Who is an apostle? An apostle is a pioneer. He's an entrepreneur. Yes, he's a founder. He's a groundbreaker. He's someone who knows how to lay a foundation and start something new. For example, Bill Gates is an apostle in the information tech. Mandela is an apostle. He pioneered the freedom of South African, black South Africans from apartheid. Adenuga is an apostle. But you can see these are in the marketplace. If you have that capacity to pioneer something new, to break ground, to start something new and weather the storm, and finally you lay the foundation in stands, you have apostolic gift. Yes. Who is a prophet? A prophet is a visionary, a dreamer. That's why you notice Daniel was not an apostle in the political realm. He was a prophet in the marketplace. Who is a prophet? An innovator. Someone who has capacity to get ideas and direction from the realm of the invisible. People who just tap into breakthrough ideas. These are people who have the capacity to see what other people are not seeing yet. They see where the business is going. They're able to make predictions, and it happens. Not because they, you know, some of them have visions and dreams in the night, but they have this gifting in them, intuitive thing that enables them to tell this is where the market thing is going, and they reposition their company. These things are needed in the boardroom. These things are needed in organizations. These things are not just something you need in church. We are using it in church, but you can see how I've gone now and use it to transform a state. who is an evangelist. An evangelist is a marketer. He's a salesperson. He is a mobilizer. He's a motivator. He's an exhorter. He's somebody who has the ability to unlock other people's passion. Not give, passion. Somebody who has the ability to unlock other people's passion. He can get people motivated to do something. He is also somebody who has the ability to make people buy something. Ability to sell something and make people buy it. Usually, they are given the ability to talk and convince people. Your gift is in your tongue. You can make people, like somebody said, you can make Eskimos buy a fridge. You are an evangelist. Use it for God. Because as you are using it to sell goods, the same thing works when it comes to marketing the gospel. Such groups can sell the gospel further than any other group. Why apostles can go into an area and pioneer something? It could be a business. That thing they also use to pioneer something. They also use it to pioneer church, pioneer other things. Who is a pastor? A pastor is a manager. He's an administrator. He's a human resource person. He's that person that attends to details. And that person that attends to relationships. In the home, is like a mother who nurtures children. Some of you are like that. You are people persons. You like connecting. You care about how people are feeling. Even where you work, you notice when this staff is depressed. And you ask her during the break, what is wrong? I fought with my husband last night. And you're always into people's problems. You are a pastor. You are a pastor, my friend. You have heart for people. What is bothering other people will move you. That's what is called a pastoral heart. You have it. Most prophets don't care in that area. They don't have that gift. Their own is to bring correction, bring direction. They want things done right and show where we are going, point the direction, give people an understanding of what needs to be done. But that aspect of it are not always like that. They don't like. They are not into such petty things. But you see these people, you can sit down and be listening. It's your gift, it's your calling. The reason God placed you in the marketplace is so you can be pastoring your fellow staffs. Without being made in charge of HR, you are actually the one that is managing people's relationships in the office. The man comes back, he has quarreled with his wife, he comes to talk to you during break. You tell him what to do, you counsel him, you tell him that. Also put it there, the pastor too is a counselor. Who is a teacher? A teacher is an instructor. He's a trainer. He's a coach. He also has the gift of writing. He not only can communicate truths, he can also communicate it through publications. He's a management consultant. He's a trainer. He's a person who has the ability to digest information or knowledge and then pass it to people in the way they can understand it. He can read it in a book. He can hear it in a message. But his system has a way of breaking it down in a way that people can now assimilate it. He sometimes functions like the digestive system. He breaks the complex thing. Even when there is a training program in the organization, and it finishes, some people are still trying to understand which one is this and all that. His system just breaks it down. If he doesn't understand, he just takes a day or two, look into the thing, he catches it, and he can come and then give it to you like ABCD. It will look like it's that simple. They have passion to help people know. They have passion to pass knowledge. So that God placed you there, you can start a Bible study group. And he placed you there so that over time too, you can write on different topics that can help people in different areas solve problems. That's why he called you. Some of the greatest books that has affected my life were written by people who are not pastors and other, but are church people. But they wrote on certain topics. The book of Daniel you are reading there, it was written by an administrator who used his prophetic gift. The book of Proverbs is written by a politician who used his apostolic gift. The first 13 book, the 13 epistles in the New Testament were written by an apostle. Actually, the apostle preached the message, but most of them he didn't write. He was a medical doctor who used his teaching gift by the name of Luke that wrote those things. You know, when this army is unleashed, the Great Commission will be fulfilled. Look at the wisdom of God. You see that the problem is not from God. The problem is that the church has not understood the divine strategy and plan. So we're just busy doing our things. Bow down your heads. You're going to make a comment. First, you're going to repent that you are not using your ministry. That's the first thing. Second, you're going to make a commitment here. Start with repentance. And I ask God to reactivate the anointing on your life, because that's why that anointing came. You are carrying the oil and doing nothing with it. That's why that anointing came. Where he sends me, I will answer. Where he places me, I will represent him. Where he sends me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere walking with my Lord. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere walking for my Lord. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere walking for my Lord. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere walking for my Lord. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere walking for my Lord. Acts chapter 19. There's something I will show you. You're going to pray for yourself from it, that God will use you to shake that particular marketplace or area of life where he has placed you. Acts chapter 19. You see how God used Paul here, apostles in the marketplace. Verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul proposed in his spirit, when he had passed from Macedonia and Asia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went into Macedonia. Two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, he went with them, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Verse 23. And at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sir, ye know that by this craft or trade we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this man by the name of Paul has persuaded and turned away much people. Underline that. One man in the marketplace. This is the same thing that Daniel did in Babylon. Shook up the whole Babylon. The same thing that Joseph did in Egypt. One apostle in the marketplace. God is tired of too many people in church, trapped in the building, called in church. He needs people out there. He said, you know that this is how we are making our money. But now we see that not only in Ephesus, but throughout the whole Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only is this our business in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard this saying, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of Ephesus. And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in the travel. They rushed with one accord into the theater. When Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples did not allow him. And certain of the chief Asians, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater, even with riot going on, because one man with his preaching has ended idolatry in the marketplace. Do you know that a lot of things are going on in the marketplace? Occultism in political arena, a burning incense in a marketplace, even in your company, all kinds of things are going on. You are the one that will bring an end to it. That's why God put you there, to bring the lordship of Christ in that area. But even when the message started causing riot, and they have captured two of the people who work with him and took them inside the theater, Paul pushed to enter. One time in Israel, this guy was, that's no wonder they call him, these men are the men that turned the world upside down. Lift up your hands and ask God, use me to turn around that company, that organization. After you have won them, you have discipled them, then you can bring them to church. You drag them through discipleship school, they become strong. You can get the materials of discipleship school. Every break, you run in for them, run the classes for them in your company. Or maybe you begin a fellowship 7 a.m., 1 hour before work start, or 1 hour after work, or during break. That is your own pulpit that God has already given you. In that market where your business hold, create one day in a week when you deal with people. Create time when you counsel people. Some of your colleagues are barren. Some of them are suffering from wanting. Demons attacking them. That's why God placed you there. Some of your customers have problems. And any customer that God uses you to change his life will become a permanent customer. He will go and start bringing others to you. Father, deliver us from selfish Christianity. You've opened our eyes tonight. I ask, Lord, the spirit of discovery, not only to walk in this place, but the spirit of commitment, to begin to do something about this from now. To use the tools that you have placed in our disposal, our gifts, our talent, to reach the world and reach our own people groupings, our own ethnos for you. Like Apostle Paul, like Daniel, like Joseph, like Esther, like Abraham. Abraham walked into the palace and opened the womb of all the barren women. Polygamous home. He opened all their womb, barren women, and prayed for the king. All the sick people in the house got healed. And they blessed him with silver and gold. He came out of that place very rich. Let the ministry of every individual here be released today, my God. That the era of burying of talent, era of bushels hid under chairs. You said you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a candle and hides it under a bushel, but they put it on top of the table where everybody can see with it. All these candles, all these ministries that you place here, Lord, put them in that strategic position. Enable them to strategically locate themselves where they walk in such a way that they can begin to affect the lives of the people there. I call an end to stagnation. I call an end to visionlessness. I call an end to that era of stagnation in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. And as they begin to open up their life to minister, to touch people, that the blessing of God will open up for them beyond measure.
that favor will begin to follow them. They will begin to get fast promotion. In this 1 year, they will get a harvest of 3 years. I decree today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan will command you, take your hand off these ministries. I commission these ones and we release their ministries. You cannot stop them anymore. We release the gifts and the callings that God has placed in their lives. They will know the joy of subduing a whole organization at the feet of Christ, subduing a whole company, bringing an army of customers to Christ, bringing an army and a section of society as an offering to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. The next offering you are going to give the Lord will be the offering of lives. By the end of this year, you will just lift your hand like that and say, Lord, see 500 people that I brought for you. Lord, see. You know, there's one girl that God delivered in one of our meetings, and she was telling us she went into a school, got admission like every other person. He said she didn't even write JAMB, she didn't even apply for that school. But the people helped her, her people, just to come there to initiate people. And she said she even succeeded once, going into one fellowship that had lost the fire and initiated a few brothers there by using immorality and all that. But the point I'm trying to let you know is that girl went into the university with a mission. She will pass her exams like every other person, but she gets another reward from hell. That's how you are to be wherever you are walking. God bless you.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879. 0803-435-7959. 0803-590-9900.